This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
Yo, yo, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hello.
Nice. Welcome to the show. How are you doing, friend?
Are we live?
We're live, yes. Live right now.
Hey, lit. I'm going to grab a soda. Give me a second.
Okay. Well, he's grabbing a soda. I'd like to introduce you all to Zed, Freestyle the News. You can go check out Freestyle the News on the YouTubes. We're also going to be joined by Dan from the Internet. You can check out Dan from the Internet on the YouTubes as well. And find them both. I was doing your intro. Oh, and he's gone. And just like that. He's gone.
I'm here. I'm just turning off my camera because I am not wearing pants. I'm just wearing my underwear because it's fucking early and I don't give a shit.
Ah, so. Fair. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for helping.
I'm just, bro, there's like, I've been like reacting and rapping for 24 hours at this point.
Oh, I was okay? Going to say, this must be more than just Christmas for you. This must be like Christmas, bro, combined with like, this must this be is, like, you know, the resurrection of Jesus kind of stuff.
Oh my Easter, God. This Easter is weekend. Like, watch, oh, I, my friend, it's like, this is how I feel like. It's like Return of the Jedi, like right at the end where everybody's celebrating. Yeah. I feel Drake's Force Ghost has just appeared somewhere in there, and I'm just like, oh, he died, but for a good cause. And it was absolutely worth it. It was absolutely worth it. I'm not exaggerating, and we can get into the individual diss tracks, but like,
sure.
This is the best rap battle
in history
of all time at this point. Easily.
Yeah,
easily.
I'll say, like, there's been other rap battles where you know you get a little bit of content, maybe two or three songs, and then maybe you'll get something. There'll be an apology or maybe a tour or something that's going to come out. But like right now, it's I'd say Kendrick working at his best, almost. You know, like not that like it's not as if Kendrick Lamar doesn't have far superior discographies and all that kind of stuff, right? I'm not trying to take away how important To Kill a Butterfly is, but like,
here's why it was so good. It's because it's something that was speculated for a while, like who would win, because these were the two people. Because the thing is, they both occupied, it's similar to Jay-Z and Nas, they both occupied a different space in the hip hop lexicon, right? Kendrick wasn't just like, oh, I'm witty bars. Like the way he made music was very different. The way Drake made music was very different. Drake was a solid, polished trendsetter who. Let's take away, like, if you're looking from a musician standpoint, both of them were incredibly revered by musicians and rappers in general. If you know what you're, if you're actually working and doing what you're doing, Drake had super strong. Oh, so I think your dude's joining right now. Oh,
he's kicking. Dan, can you hear us?
What up, dude?
Hi, can you hear me, see me, all that working?
I can.
It is. Yes. Ooh, I'm putting myself awesome. Up.
Should I can, I don't want to, I don't want to monologue too much, but I was saying like, I was saying that for musicians in general and like for other rappers that I talk to, you know, both of these guys occupy a different space in the hip hop ecosystem. Drake has always been a solid pop songwriter, hitmaker. He flirted with battles with King of the Dot for a while and really actually helped push that scene quite a bit. Learned a lot from it. Kendrick has always been he started out as a battle rapper, as somebody who started out in battle rap. I fucking super respect that. He's always been aggressive, and there's always been this, what would happen if they both battled? Since 2014, it's like, what would the hypotheticals be? And when it happened, it was different than anybody thought. Kendrick just didn't come out of the gate aggressive. He came out methodical and precise and intelligent. Drake dropped a harder diss than anybody thought he would drop at first with push-ups. The bars were strong. Oh my God.
Like push-ups, yeah.
I objectively like push-ups. I objectively thought Taylor made diss track is my one kind of hot take where I think like the shock value of it was interesting. I think the bars were interesting. I think I was wrong in the sense that it was a smart chess move because he ended up having to take it down and it just looked bad overall. People were just not fucking with the AI on it. People were not fucking with the disrespect on it. And I completely understand that.
It's so cringe. I gotta be honest. There's so many moves that Drake has done that have been the most cringy shit I've ever seen. Did you see him put Kratos? But, like, I will get my revenge.
Cringe. Also, the Instagram talking shows like a lack of understanding of what, because like, who's the other person on the call? I'm sorry.
This is Dan from the internet. Everyone say hi to Dan from the internet joining us once again. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Dan. My name's Zed. I'm a rapper and a battler. I had one really famous rap battle in 2018 and shit like that.
You're huge in the nerdcore scene too, right? Like Evo stuff like that. Like you do a lot of fighting world hip hop.
If you listen to Mortal Kombat at the end, that's me rapping. And there are other games coming out soon that I'm going to be rapping on, so that's cool. But like I'm telling you, like I thought. I'm huge on disrespect in a rap battle. Like the more disrespectful you are, the more you come correct. And I felt like that was a disrespectful thing to do. And I was like, I respect that move, but I completely understand. Like it's cringe. I thought Family Matters was great. Fucking Meet the Grams really picked it apart. I thought the Not Like Us is a bop. It was really strong. Man, this last one, it's like how all really good rap battles like have to end. Somebody stumbles, and that was a huge stumble, dude. It's probably the worst track on the board that he dropped.
By far.
So we're talking about the It's Always Sunny, Don't Diddle Kid, I Don't Diddle track that was...
It was so happy. It
literally said that. Yeah. Like, when we talk about Drake using the internet, like, very often, like, there's a meme that, like, oh, the hard part 6 was basically Drake using Instagram and reading the comments and that, turning those into raps, right? But, like, literally the joke was, okay, at what point is Drake going to release the Always Sunny in Philadelphia? Frank, like, frantically going, we gotta release a new song, gang, we don't diddle kids. And, like, the hard part 6 was actually that. He didn't need to bring up Millie Bobby Brown.
So where does that all come from?
Trying to flip the A minor scheme was the cringiest fucking like that's like a high school. That's like there was a when Will Smith was beefing with Eminem, he released a track where he's like, "How are we gonna have a battle of wits, Trick? You unarmed." And everyone's like, "Shut up, Will." And he quit rap for 8 years because it was so fucking bad. It was giving that, dog. It's the most cringy fucking bar I've ever heard.
That's saying a lot from Drake. I'm not a total Drake hater, but like I a little bit am. For a lot of the reasons that have been surfaced to light because of this rap beef. I mean, I appreciate that, you know, he has this wide mainstream appeal. He's brought together singing and rap in like this, you know, really unique way and brought it to the pop scene. But yeah,
employed a lot of ghostwriters as well, you know.
Yeah, you know, I don't think they're union, but you know,
Small business. There.
You know, I think it's valid to be a hater. Like I'm not trying to say you shouldn't be. You like the music you like, and you feel the way you feel. And there are parts of Drake that are just definitely like not a good person, especially in the last few years. So like, I'm not at all defending any of those things. I'm just trying to I'm coming from the perspective of sizing them up as like boxers or competitors. Like Floyd Mayweather is an objectively horrible person, and so is Manny Pacquiao to an extent, but I'm trying to see the boxing match and try to analyze it from that perspective, if that makes sense.
I totally agree there. And I for context, I do a music podcast called Audio Face. We just streamed for 2.5 hours last night on this like whole beat from Euphoria down to the Heart Part 6, because that was just like what we hadn't talked about.
And that headline of you streaming on the Twitters, that's why I was like, well, I want to talk to Dan from the internet about this. I was like, he's got a fresh
I am sick with takes, literally. That's why I'm sipping tea right now. To your point earlier, Zed, about you were talking about disrespect and really ranking that in the, you know, if there are attributes to a rap beef, you kind of talk about disrespect. There's the production, there is the rapping skill quality itself, there is how heavy hitting it is. And I think those attributes have changed over time for sure, as we've released, you know, rap Final Fantasy 15 or whatever version we're on right now, right? But I think it's the difference between, like, A, we could talk about the music, but because And this era of rap beef, it's getting so personal in lieu of, like, you know, literal death threats. I think that, you know, Kendrick is making it very personal and Drake's making it very personal, so eventually end up talking about that stuff. But even beyond that, like, the anger that you're getting, the rage that you're absolutely getting from a person like Kendrick to Drake, yeah, is just, like, it's very palpable. Like, it's something that's really interesting to see here. And I think that, yeah, The Heart Part 6 felt like, the single. Like, it's not me. I didn't do it. Like,
I'm not the pedo. You're the pedo.
And that's the other thing. I think Drake took all Drake took all the wrong lessons from 50 Cent. Like, because 50 Cent, when he came out and he started beefing with people, he was a bully. And I think he's probably the best, like, three-dimensional rap beef. He's not the best battler, but the best person at three-dimensional rap beef. Like, buying out all of Ja Rule's concerts, like showing up at Rick Ross's baby mom's house. I saw some article that said Rick Ross won the beef against him. No, everybody knows Rick Ross is a corrections officer because of 50 Cent. And I think Drake looked at 50 Cent's model, and that's how he beat Meek Mill, and that's how he beat Common. But then he took all of the wrong things from that model, like all of the wrong lessons, and applied it to this beef where every one of those lessons where you're posting an Instagram story, you're texting streamers like, I'm about to drop this red button, is the dumbest fucking thing you could do, because you're working with somebody who, one, waited 2 weeks and had shit in the chamber. So, and also the idea that, like, he planted the information, even if it was true, it's an objectively stupid chess move, because you essentially dropped a video. If you planted that info, you drop the video, you let him drop a song, and you let everybody in the public marinate with it for 2 days, and he dropped another song. Even right, if it's incorrect, the chess move,
then he should have had the song to terrible. Be like, you fell for it, here's how,
exactly.
Here's why. I'm explaining it how. Like, it would have been the other way around.
Also, it would be a completely different thing we're talking about.
Ten minutes after Meet the Grams, Drake drops that. Like, oh, there's the chess move.
And the other question would be, what kind of a power move is leaking that you're a pedophile? That's the part I don't get. Like, how is that a power move? Whereas it's like, I planted all these stories and these seeds, so I made you say mean things about me that aren't true.
He's working off the wrong lessons of that 50 Cent rap beef still. Like, let's say, like, I'm big on the fact that a lot of rap, and again, Drake has a ton of allegations that he's got to address in general. And part of the reason those allegations keep mounting is, like, I think, like, I'm not even saying whether they're true. Like, again, analyzing it from just the boxing perspective, because talking about Drake as a groomer is a larger conversation, I feel like, right? But analyzing it from the perspective of, like, somebody accused you and pressed on this pressure point of yours. If you at all, like, if you at all don't flip that scheme, you lose. And you just saying, like, that's ridiculous, is fucking stupid. Kendrick, as you notice, hasn't addressed any of the things about him hitting Whitney Alford, mainly because other people are already doing it by Googling it, right? Drake has to address this. And also, Kendrick probably has flipped other accusations that Drake has made against him in the disses that he has. Drake could have easily flipped, like, he kind of tried to do it with the R. Kelly diss in the latest one, but it was so weak with everything that he was saying and just kind of focusing on, we planted this information. Also, why, when you get a diss track, are you like, hey, by the way, you're a pedophile and a groomer and you have a daughter, and they're like, I don't have a daughter.
Yeah, like, everyone's really packing onto that. Like, first of all, and most importantly, I don't have a daughter. Don't think I'm degenerate, because that's, like, most, like, slanderous thing you said out of that entire song. So I just gotta get that out of the way. Yeah, like, there's no even... you're getting to a really important thing here. I promise, Lance, we'll let you speak here. I just got
no. I brought you on as my guest. I want to hear your opinions. And also, everyone in the chat said they're saying your microphone is popping and crackling. You might have it plugged into the wrong port or something like that. I don't know what that is. But
I'm sorry. Give me 1 second.
All right, Dan, speak in form.
Yeah, but, like, it gets to this separation between, when you're disrespecting, are you disrespecting the person you're battle rapping against, or are you disrespecting the culture? And that gets to a lot of, like, what Kendrick's angle in the battle rap is. And you can tell what I was about to say was, like, you can tell a lot of the strategy and especially the unforced errors that Drake is making just based off of, well, A, I joked about, like, if we could get the screen time, like the iPhone, whatever screen time for both of these men over the past weekend, you will tell the difference right there. It's because Drake has moved the goalposts of, like, he's always going to have these micro responses in his Instagram stories, on his social media. He laughs about his hog getting leaked when he was on his private jet, like all of these other different aspects of Drake versus Kendrick, who when he was doing the rollout for Mr. Morale, he was like, I've been dodging the pandemic, I've been dodging social gimmicks, I dodged the overnight activists. He's like, he's not a trends-based person, Kendrick Lamar, right? And so when Drake has himself as not only the pop star of rap, which is a little bit of Kendrick's critique there as well, you also have this issue where Drake is going to have to answer to some bullshit TMZ things, but some really real, like, TMZ gossipy things. And I was doing some, like, you know, Google reverse research about the daughter thing specifically, and a Google and certification. I'm sure you've talked about it a lot, Lance. It's fucking terrible, right? But especially when you're trying to do reverse searches. But I was able to do one eventually, and I was able to look at gossip rags I usually wouldn't treat as primary sources. But these same rags that got the name of Adonis's mother correct before the story of Adidon came out. So this is like in 2015, the Pusha T diss, right? And so you had these articles describing the name of the mother, saying she was pregnant with the child. And at that time, they thought it was going to be a daughter. But, you know, in that case, Drake eventually, you know, like, shut that away, and we know the rest is history. Those same outlets reporting a little bit before then, like maybe 1 or 2 years earlier, of the presence of another daughter born to a woman somewhere like in Haiti or like you know, like the islands over there, and through, like, those, because you have those allegations out there combined with Drake's weird responses of, oh, I don't have a daughter, please, that's just like hearsay. It's like, I would be almost willing to believe that if it wasn't for the fact of how he handled the Pusha T thing and how that's on record with those same articles.
And that's checkmate. Like, that's the fact of the matter. Like, it's on you if you get dissed to shake that shit off. And the fact of the matter is that you fucked up the Pusha T diss so unbelievably badly that this is believable. Like, it's not like you've created an environment where this is believable, right? And, like, there are disses that Drake has shot at Kendrick that have hit, but, like, you're getting death by a thousand cuts. Like, there's no, the fact that we even, like, that you're even like, could this be true? Is that's it? It's over. Like, of course it could be, because you've done it before. And it's so much more,
because it makes Drake's reaction as it is right now so much worse. Because it's not like he, you know, pulling back from the Pusha T thing is fine, but the meme is, okay, Pusha T bullied Drake into becoming a better father. And, you know, there's almost a redemption arc from that, including in the most recent rollout for All the Dogs. You have Adonis and several promotional videos for that, which I think is just, like, cheap as fuck, right? But there's totally a way for, you know, Drake is known to be very promiscuous.
Let me rejoin, by the way, guys. I'm sorry about the popping. Let me just rejoin real quick.
For sure. Like, we know Drake to be really promiscuous in that way, and we know that he will, you know, like... has been around, so to speak, and we know, like, he's a
lover boy, as it's said, right?
Certified lover boy, certified PDF file. but, like, he is. It's possible. It's likely. You can expect that. Whereas Kendrick, you know, Drake accused Kendrick of potential infidelity, sleeping with white women, which is like another whole thing. Like, the Drake fans took the diss as, "Oh, you're mad at Drake because he's biracial." Whereas everyone else was like, oh, no, you're mad at Drake because he's a culture vulture. And that whole, you see how Drake misunderstands that he's taking the internet on one side in a very Elon Musk kind of way, too. Like, well, the internet is saying this, and his version of the internet is just like all of his fans. Like, all of his culture.
Right.
So it's just not totally fair there. But I think, yeah, all through all, right now, it's looking like Drake seems to be lying. And that's emphasized by that part of Meet the Grams that's just, like, lie, echoing, lie, lie, lie. And I don't know anyone, like, especially any normies who are, like, you know, interested in music but not super interested in rap or the rap beefs, who are like, oh, a rap beef, I'm exciting. There's drama. It's men getting angry and writing poems to each other. I'm down for it.
It's so true. That's why I love it. I always have.
And like, you know, they're feeling like that. Like, it's a bop. People love that. They're people who are thinking like push-ups. Oh, that's a great comeback. Then there's Euphoria, 616 in LA, Family Matters. By Meet the Grams, it's like that traumatized Mr. Incredible meme where just like it's just black and white and your colors are like, oh my God. Because Kendrick Lamar, through the ability of, you know, we've seen this throughout his discography, but I think especially in Mr. Morale and in To Pimp a Butterfly, he can make songs that are bops, like club bangers, but he could also make songs that are like beautiful pieces of art you almost don't want to listen to again. Like We Cry Together, that argument of him and supposedly his wife.
Yeah. And the music videos to accompany it too, right?
Yeah, like it's a beautiful piece of art, but you're like, I'm not going out to listen to that song like I would like King Kunta or All Right or you know, Element or something like that. So there's that aspect of it there.
Doesn't that kind of play heavily into the fact though that like Kendrick is now seen as both like a conscious hip-hop artist but also as a successful commercial artist in his own right? And that's kind of one of the aspects that both of them have been going at each other as well, right? Like, didn't Drake try to imply that at the end of the day Kendrick, like, what did he say, like, you sing like you want to free the slaves? And I was like, that's a weird thing to say. That's a good thing, actually.
It was another tell.
Right, yeah, but like, you're a fake activist, like at the end of the day or something like that. And I was like, I don't think anyone would ever put up their like careers, discography, activism side by side and ever think that there's anything comparable between the two people, right? Like, on one end, Kendrick is singing and like the guy has a Pulitzer. Like, damn, what a fucking a Pulitzer for the amount of you know, how much he can put into, like, this is the history of America put into poetry, put into song, now released, right?
Hot take. I think in the case of a rap beef, when you're trying to talk about, you know, who is the winner, like who is like whatever, the Pulitzer is a net neutral / maybe negative to Kendrick, because it's almost this thing where...
Can you hear me now?
Sound fantastic.
My video is it better?
Sound, your audio's good, but we got no video.
Yeah, okay, perfect. Okay, yeah, I had to go into my task manager and do a bunch of crap, so I'm okay.
Yeah, you sound great.
I was saying, like, you know, I think it's amazing that Kendrick won a Pulitzer. The Pulitzer is also like a group of old, you know, snotty, what I presume to be like white folks, who are like bestowing an award. So it's like, congratulations, you got like, you know, a Nobel Prize. The fuck does that mean in the streets?
Right.
If anything, it's like, I'll say really fast, if anything, it might be an indictment to his popularity being fueled by a white audience, which, to be real, Kendrick and Drake have huge non-black audiences. You really can't achieve mainstream success if you're only going to focus on black art, like on a black fan base. That's purely the reality, right? Like, you have to expand beyond that. Like, there's even some voyeurism to it, but you gotta expand beyond that. But it was, that would have been a better angle, a stronger angle for Drake to go in. And he went on it, I think, like, once, or like somebody did, maybe like once or twice, but
he dropped some stuff about the Pulitzer at the beginning of the diss. And I think if I can just add on to something you said, I think there's also a thing about spaces in hip-hop. I'm involved in a couple different very fringe like hip-hop. I'm involved in gaming, and both of those spaces are very interesting because over time you've seen people gaming complex and nerddom like becoming a niche kind of thing, but then be adopted by the mainstream. And there is this habit of being like, well, if we're mentioned in the same breath as these institutions, it means that we've made it, because that used to be the barometer for everything, but the internet changed a lot. So I think, especially at the time when, like, Damn was released and it won a Pulitzer, it was a big deal because it was just like, dude, like, it's about fucking time you recognize hip-hop as this kind of a thing. Now we're at the point where, like, the Oscars don't fucking matter. These award shows, these institutions are all, their credibility is kind of at a huge loss, and hip-hop hardly doesn't need them. It's surpassed a lot. I mean, look at how much this diss has taken over every single area of media and culture.
Oh, part over of the last I'm 7 days probably was because me and Ole have a similar rule where, like, I just like basically won't go out unless I have a really good reason to. And we were both like, I need to hear this song in a club. I need to hear Not Like That. Absolutely. I was literally called to...
My favorite was like single...
I'm from LA. I'm from the West Coast. Like, this is...
Wait, where in LA are you?
I'm not going to say that.
But, I'm also in LA. That's what I'm saying.
I'll let you know on Discord.
Let me know. Yo, Dan, can you dox yourself real quickly? Like, you're not from the internet.
Yeah, no, but like,
if you give me your social security number, the last four digits in the back of your credit card, I'd really appreciate that.
The only thing I regret about, you know, going out that night, other than like getting a cold, is that I wasn't able to go out in Oakland, because once Kendrick dropped that line about, you know, in Oakland, they're not going to take that Tupac thing lightly. Like, your probably last show is going to be the one you did in Oakland. Of course, I'm butchering the line, but I'm just like, yo, this song is just hypey enough to like get the Oakland clubs lit. Get the set, like, this single song will make San Francisco great again.
Dude, and those Oakland dudes do not play around, man. Like, that.
I was just saying, like, you can go to any show in the
Bay Area. Keep talking. Someone's knocking on my door. Just keep talking. I'll be back in 5 minutes.
You could go to any show in the Bay Area, whether it's like, you know, freeform jazz, like a really like, you know, chill, or like, you know, like, or like a really chill thing, or a rap show, or like a pop show. And if you're just like waiting for people to get in, guaranteed you're going to get that place to go down, even if the first act isn't coming on for 30 minutes, if you just play Blow the Whistle.
Yep.
Guaranteed. Like, and that song is very old at this point, but I mean to say, it's like, Oakland will make forests from crumbs when it comes to music and when it comes to representation.
And honestly, LA too, but the thing too is, like, I think a lot of people, you know, my probably
LA doesn't really have crumbs of talents, though. Like, no disrespect to the Bay Area, which has a ton of talent, but that cultivation for talent really isn't there unless you're like a wizard with Python on the computer, right? Like, that's the only way.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of talent from Oakland. They have the Oakland School of the Arts, which is like a huge, like, I mean, David Diggs is from there. You got quite a few, like, Kehlani is from Oakland.
The talent is there. But
the talent
saying, like,
I'm
saying, like, the talent is there. They're also all taking that 1 hour boom and zoom down to LAX to meet with, to meet with everyone in Hollywood. That's what I'm saying.
I think there's also something to be said about the fact that, like, I think one, I don't know if you guys have already talked about it, but the Culture Vulture diss on, there's multiple Culture Vulture disses, but the one on Not
Drake's
Like
biggest
Us,
unforced error, and I think it's the like, most like
that was a crushing
biggest
part of
speech in general.
Punch. Yeah, I mean, like, specifically because,
in my,
like,
opinion, Drake still hasn't responded to it.
Oh, fuck no, he hasn't. And I think that's what's, again, that's the problem, is that you're aiming, if this is a fucking trench warfare, right? Kendrick is a sniper rifle aiming from a fucking clock tower 500 miles away, and Drake is shooting the ground like he doesn't know how Call of Duty mouse and keyboard works. Like, the fuck is this? Like, the fact that like that whole scheme on the end of Not Like Us, which, again, the first two are already deading, right? The last scheme about, like, hey, listen, you said that I rap like I'm trying to free the slaves. We were all into, like, it's Kendrick. You have the social consciousness part of Kendrick's bars. You have the fact that he name drops every significant collaborator Drake has. And the other thing that Drake probably isn't noticing is that all of his hits, except for like maybe, no, all of his hits from the last 5 years have been collaborations with each of those people, with Future. There's not been a solo Drake hit in the last 5 years that is just him carrying the whole song. It's been Lil Durk, it's been Savage, it's been Future. That, like, there's not been, Family Matters is the first one. So he's tied you to all of these Atlanta. Yeah. Because he's tied you to all these Atlanta artists.
But as an actual, like, you know, I don't like Drake at all. I actually thought that was like, I was impressed by that song, because I've always thought of Drake as just being kind of like auto-tune everything. And I'm just like, I'm so sad in the shower, kind of stuff like that, right? But like, this was like, oh, wow, he can go really hard when he wants to. Where did this come from?
Yeah. If you're reading this as too late, is people have wanted that kind of style from him for a while. Because he hung out with people like Disaster and King of the Dot and everything like that. And there's been a huge, just in, within music, there's been a huge, like, bro, like, it feels like, he keeps releasing these projects that are like 40 songs and three of them are good. And he's been criticized for a lot. That's the other thing I would say. I'm sorry, Dan, I'm talking so much. Like, Drake has released so much material. He's like a fucking Madden game where, like, he releases an album like every year or two, which is strong because he stays in the lexicon. But bro, there are so many misses. And after a while,
even better, that, like, I love your Madden analogy because it's like you're not even changing the albums that much.
It's marginal. And the thing is also, like, the diss tracks are the same.
That. I'm sorry.
You know, you go for it. But, like, Madden has so, like, Madden has a 14 slip. Drake has so many filler bars on these. Right, their Family Matters has bars that are fucking haymakers. I'm like, oh my god, the if you beat up on your like, is it self defense because your girl is taller than you? Kendrick just opened his mouth. Someone go give him a Grammy right now. Ah, like fucking smart ass, really strong punches, but they're ladled with all of these other kind of things that don't really hit. Whitney cheating is not a, it's. It's been, you didn't recontextualize it enough.
You think, right? Kendrick Lamar cares about who Whitney's following or not following on Instagram?
Bro, also that's like that. And again, I think it's a chess move, mischaracterization, but like you're doubling down on these things that there's so many other pieces of information.
Well, let me ask about that, because like for people who aren't as in tuned into this world as the two of you are, is there any validity to the accusations of Drake potentially trying to drop into the DMs of a whole bunch of underage people, trying to hook up with one of the cast members of Stranger Things, and the same thing goes for Kendrick. Is there validity to the accusations of domestic abuse? And also, why? I guess my last question would be, why is Drake also trying to invoke strange things like the fact that Kendrick goes to therapy or has been open about his own mental health and things like that?
I think for Kendrick, I did a piece on Freestyle the News about this where it was like the whole thing with the domestic violence allegation. That's from a 2015 story where there was a security guard that accused Kendrick of beating up this woman in a lobby. And it was investigated by Media Takeout. They couldn't find any evidence around the woman's claims. The woman eventually dropped the claims, but there was a crisis management team hired to deal with that situation. However, there's been it's been years since multiple people defended Kendrick on that. You know, you can say what you want about like specifically that instance, but that had nothing to do with Whitney Alford specifically. Whitney Alford's brother has retweeted Kendrick's diss, and it seems like they're all on the same side there. So I don't think Whitney is at all like siding with Drake on any of the domestic violence allegations. I think that's kind of far-fetched. To me, I feel like all of the stuff that you see with Drake serenading a girl who's under 17 on stage and all the shit that he said over the past few years,
where Drake talked to that woman afterwards as well, like after the show, because there's one of the ones that was on video.
There's two.
I saw lyrics that have come out that have been about like high school kids too, right? About like, you know, 17-year-olds and stuff.
If we're being charitable to both performers and we don't have to be, but let's. I think it's good to take them at their word and then like dissect where they could be fumbling and where their inconsistencies are, right? Totally. So if we're taking Drake at his inconsistencies and stuff like that, right, and everything like that, let's say okay, the environment in 20, which is true, the environment at the time where all of those things that happened with Drake was charged by there was a huge thing in the news about like 17, that was like a huge, David Cross had bits about that. Which was like, it's fucked up as shit when you look back at it. It's super fucked up. But that was a conversation that was going on. And in hip hop, even with R. Kelly beating the charges for that time, you know, until we reexamined it at the Me Too movement, there was a lot of leeway, which shouldn't have been given, that was given. Now, I think at a certain point, Drake started to catch heat for those. And as you can see in this beef, it looks bad when you address the elephant in the room sometimes. So I think at a certain point, he tried to cut that out. I don't think the thing with Millie Bobby Brown has any validity. I don't think the things, like, I think after a certain point.
It's just weird that he brought her up unprovoked, right? That's
100%. That's a fucking
and the whole thing where, like, in the background where she apparently, like, you know, oh, he's been giving me girl, he's been giving me boy and girl advice. I'm like.
The Billie Eilish, the Billie Eilish thing. The Billie Eilish thing to me. Yeah, the Billie Eilish thing to me is a fucking stupid thing for him to do. Like, I think that 100% that's creep. It's creepy as fuck. It's like, it's you don't have a social awareness of the fact that you're this is how you look.
Yeah, like, hey, if you're Leonardo DiCaprio and you're like in an interview talking about texting a young, you know, up and coming co-star like Sydney Sweeney that you're working with, maybe leave that part out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if you're in a relationship, maybe leave that part out if you're Leonardo DiCaprio. Like just think, have some self-awareness. Yeah.
I think Drake, listen, if we're talking about in the history of like where Drake stands on the predator to creepy spectrum, right? Yeah. I don't think he's Harvey Weinstein and Karl Malone. I do think he's kind of like Leonardo DiCaprio. I think that's a pretty accurate fucking statement because he hangs around with a lot of people who are way younger than him. He doesn't understand the boundaries that you have to have in that situation. And he's gotten so much heat and he hasn't addressed it that he's just like, I'm just going to shut the fuck up about it. But Leonardo DiCaprio isn't in a rap battle. And Leonardo DiCaprio also does not bring up every woman he's broken up with under 25 whenever he's in an interview. So just
I'm kidding. So it like qualifies him for rap to some extent. So like he's a little bit there. I would love to see, you know, Shaq's rapping. With that, even going back to the 90s. That's
bro,
fair, but, you know.
Bro, Shaq could drop a better thing than the Heart Part 6. That's the problem. When the Shaq Kobe diss is better than the Heart Part 6, like, what the
fuck? Tell me how
fuck,
my ass
dude, why is it so bad that like that's the first thing I played when Kobe's helicopter crashed?
Actually, really?
Yeah.
Man, oh, wow. You know that if you like they're gonna inside the NBA they're gonna ask like what do you guys think of the Kendrick Drake diss and Shaq's gonna be like well I got 3 rings and this is what I think. I'm like oh, okay Shaq, thanks for bringing up the rings again. Fucking Jesus, man. Gotta bring
so
up those rings. Like, where's your fat?
So yeah, you're saying there's some validity to it. It took a little Googling, but it's like, it kind of looks like he's got a lifelong history of being a creep, you know, at the very least to very, very yikes. How are you getting away with this? So then that brings up that line that he has where he's like, I could never have done this. I couldn't have diddled kids because I'm rich and famous. Which
that's
is
the
that's
dumbest
gotta,
fucking
right
defense.
Like that's yeah that's got to be one of the worst unforced things I've ever heard. Yeah, right, yeah, unforced error, totally, because I mean the list goes on and on and on. I mean you invoked one of the people in that song, Epstein, who did get away with it for a long time.
Yeah. Weinstein was invoked in the Kendrick song,
right,
bro?
Yeah.
When he's addressing your mom saying you should die and get effed up in a jail cell for what you
listen
did, which is what happens to people who abuse minors.
Mm-hmm. Bro, and what's harder? What's harder?
Yeah,
did
he just
right?
happened?
What's what's the harder diss? Hey, you beat your wife. You're not like really a good person. Hey, you're a pedophile and you should fucking die. I want you to die. Listen to me. You should be going to. You should be killed.
No, like how bad it is.
That's
is it like
fucking? That's
Drake,
the
Drake's
oh.
diss. Drake's diss was like the classic debate 101 thing of like. Well, you can't literally present the question of, hey, Kendrick, when did you stop beating your wife?
That's a logical fallacy.
If this is a high school debate, if this is a thing, Drake is going like, listen, the reasons I could not have done this are point A, B, C, and D. And like, okay, well, Kendrick, what do you think? I brought a gun here. That's what this fucking is.
Removed his ability to use the whole musical chord. He can't sing in A minor ever again. Like that's gone. You put that away from him.
I wanted to say earlier that like the way you like you described it as I forget you described it earlier, but the way Kendrick is kind of this beef is just like Drake is just, you know, dancing and singing and going like la 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 la. And Kendrick is that guy who was like David Goggins at 2:15 in the morning doing push-ups in the park in fog. And, like push-ups, sit-ups, just nothing but jail workouts, and just like muttering to himself.
Oh, I saw a TikTok where somebody said, why would you fuck with this guy? He's doing jail workouts in a fucking Mervyn's parking lot. Like, don't go near him. What are you doing? Like, you're an actor from Canada. bro.
We apologize, by the way. We sincerely apologize. I'm proud to say we no longer claim Drake. Okay, Drake lost his Canadian status. So
every rapper in their brain, in their soul, is like, yeah, I can fucking take somebody. After the Kendrick thing, I like thought to myself, like, man, I have to reevaluate how people approach battles. I have never heard a diss like Meet the Grams. Because it's a response. First off, it's a response that's immediate. Second off, it's a chill response. It's like when you're rap battling, you're like aggressive. Yo, I'm gonna fuck you up. This isn't even I'm gonna fuck you up. I'm like, I'm so sorry.
What I was saying was,
it's a haunting song.
But what I was saying, Zed, while you were gone, was that like Kendrick Lamar brought his ability to create artistic songs that are so jarring you never want to hear again. Like, he brought We Cry Together energy to Meet the Grams to the point where, like, every normal person who was, like, you know, normal in the sense of, like, they're not music perverts such as ourselves, like, they would listen to that whole thing and they're like, okay, cool, it's a rap beef, it's men doing poetry to each other, like, it's really fun. They would, like, be laughing and giggling to the whole song, like, oh, that's a diss, oh, that's a diss. And then they would just be utterly devastated. Dude. And just like broken down listening to Meet the Grams, almost like those like Curb Your Enthusiasm episodes where like, okay, the bit is really good, but I'm exhausted by how Larry David is reacting to
the reactions to these disses. Like, there's so like my favorite thing over the last few days has been the reactions to Meet the Grams dropping of people, because I went to the gym. And I heard Family Matters dropped, and I was like, oh, fuck, he's dropped already? And I was so excited, and I made a TikTok. I was like, dude, this is so fucking great. It's a battle. And then I called a friend, and then I was looking online, and then somebody said Kendrick dropped. And I was like, no, he fucking didn't. And I screamed. I did not work out for a minute that day. I listened to the track. I was screaming in my car with how fucking insane this was. Now, this is the best day in hip hop. The best day. Oh my God. Those reactions are like, look at the reactions. Look at the reactions.
My favorite part of it was the RDC world, the Supreme Dreams, like that. That bit. we know them from usually doing like NBA things, that's the anime house stuff. Like, they did the reaction to, you know, like Drake dropping Family Matters, you know, getting ready to party and everything. And they're like, Kendrick dropped. And he's like, yeah, I know he dropped this morning. That's why I just released it. It's like, no, Kendrick dropped again. He's like, what?
Yeah.
My favorite is Kendrick in the room. He's like, all like, hey, Kendrick, do you want that? No, leave the lights off. I'm already uploading.
Again, like, if you battle rap someone, Pusha T, we knew, was going to bring an AK-47 to a gunfight. And Drake was like, you know, bring a knife. In both cases, like, you could argue Drake had better rapping. But part of rap battles, especially right now, if it's not like outward threats of violence to your life, it's what gets the social media trend, what gets like the hardest moment. And even the Pusha T diss, that was done over the production for The Story of OJ, a track by Jay-Z on 444. And that track was talking about how OJ had kind of shed his blackness to accept whiteness. And that time he said, I'm not black, I'm OJ.
He was
trying to, you know, conform to the entire world. And so Pusha T was like, I'm going to use that diss, take the photo of young actor Drake in blackface, and I'm going to reveal that he's hiding a child from the world and that he needs to like clean his act together before he steps on my property ever again. This time around, I saw the second one where he's like looking straight on.
Yeah, where he's looking like straight at the camera.
That's worse. Wow. That's horrible. Dude,
the story of Adidon is legendary. Also, I had a really good point that I was going to make about, I don't know if it was going to be about Jay-Z. It was
really fast. Because someone said this earlier, and I think it's important. And maybe you can like think of your point as well. But someone said, we probably addressed this, but I saw a post saying that rappers never mention their degenerate behavior and atrocities like SADV and inappropriate behavior towards minors, only except when they're dissing each other. And that's an issue. Misogyny noir is a deadly issue, but in rap, it's 50 times worse. I think that's fair. I think that, you know, a lot of cases, it's like how these things are reported and how these things picked up in media, because, you know, like these things were reported and have been reported in a while. And, you know, it doesn't need to have or shouldn't take Kendrick Lamar, who has never really been friends with Drake. We've learned this entire thing that Kendrick Lamar was invited onto For All the Dogs on that song. yeah, first person shooter that J. Cole and Drake did, as opposed to be like, hey, look, we're the big three of rap, it was great. And J. Cole, you know, friendly as J. Cole, is like, sure, Drake, buddy, I'll go join your song. And Lamar's like, in the Avatar state, like, voice warping, I fucking hate you, Drake. Like, it's not coming to that.
Well, but the two things that I do want to bring up, though, with that is, like, he says on every single one of these songs, like, yo, this is a friendly battle, and you crossed a line. So I think there was something that Drake said or did that crossed. I know the two things that have been reported of that. He put out money to try to find information, and multiple other people who Drake has battled has said that he's put out money for information on other, like, rappers and stuff like that, which, by the way, is like which is like probably a stupid thing to do. Like, you don't do, like, you do your own research. Do your research if you're battling somebody.
I mean, like, yeah,
put out money. Like, yeah, don't put out a hit. Like, that's a fucking dumb, especially against a Compton dude. That's the fucking dumbest thing you could have done. Secondly, I want to say the other loser nobody is talking about in this is Kanye West, because Kanye West put out the most trash diss song in all of this. Right? Like, worse than the hard part.
It was kind
of
hard, though.
Nah! Was dog ass!
When did it drop?
Like, that shit was whack as fuck. First off, that was whack.
To Lance's point, is like, that's how, that was the reaction that it has. Like, when did it drop?
Yeah, I didn't even know. I didn't. Well, I don't listen to Ye anymore.
And then he went on a press tour.
I've been checked out for a while.
And then he went on a press tour to diss J. Cole. And with J. Cole saying nothing over 6 days, he has become like the, you know what? Maybe J. Cole was right. J. Cole was right the whole fucking time.
I don't love that take, just because, again, I'm a person who ascribes a lot to pattern of behavior, maybe because it's like a legal bias thing, but I think, you know, pattern of behavior can really tell a person. He backed out of his beef with Lil Pump with Kids on Drugs. He backed out of his beef with No Name. Song, whatever song, like, No Name called it, with that beef over similar things, where I think the Lil Pump thing is different, but that No Name beef was about, what are you doing with your stance as a rapper? Are you really holding it down for the culture? Are you really holding it down for Black people? Are you speaking to struggles? Or, as No Name said during the George Floyd protest, one girl missing, another one gone missing, referring to the trans women who were also, like, being disappeared during a lot of the Black trans women who were being disappeared during 2020, and how that was being undercovered and underreported, even by, you know, well-meaning media outlets.
Look, I understand that, and I understand that there is a aspect to J. Cole versus No Name in that regard. I still do think that J. Cole is like an art. Here's the thing: I've always felt that J. Cole is an artist who does, compared to every other rap artist that we know, he does learn. Like, when you make mistakes, you learn. Like, as opposed to Drake, who makes mistakes and continues to do the same kind of music, right? You can see J. Cole change his stances, take in information, learn where he's wrong, and try to evolve from that. And I think that's a smart thing. I do also think that you have some,
not in rap. Wait, what? But I think as a person, that's a smart thing.
No, not in rap. Like, his viewpoints in rap change from song to, like, have changed over the years.
What I mean by that, I guess, is like, specifically in the context of a rap beef, or like when you're calling out somebody, it's good in general. If, like, I now take this a different
battling
way.
Not in rap battling. Okay. I think in terms of his discography, it's changed in the way he approaches subjects in his discography. It's changed.
Gotcha.
In terms of
his
rap battling, I think your point about the rap battling with him backing down from the Little Pump thing going too far, and because the other thing, that's a good point you make, because I think in the No Name beef, he did lose that. You know, and then I do think, but I also do think that the Little Pump one is a really telling thing that you say there, because he was winning that by leaps and bounds. He was like, people were ready to take Pump down, and Pump was kind of hanging himself with the way he was responding to that diss on that album. And Cole tried to do out of the kindness of his heart, like, give him the way back and try to bridge that gap between mumble rap and everything like that.
Do a podcast
and, like,
together.
Yeah. And that idea was cool for like a minute until Pump showed his ass a couple years later. So I think you do bring up a really good point that, like, it's a pattern of behavior with Cole of backing out.
I think we could all look now and be like, oh wow, he dodged a bullet. But I also think that.
But okay, I wanted to ask you about that because did he? Because every I'm assuming you're talking about how J. Cole makes his own response, his own diss track, and it's universally like embarrassing. Everyone says it's terrible. He ends up taking it down.
It's an Anthony Fantano video.
Whoa, let's wait on that. I don't think
it's like Section 80 doesn't exist.
I think from a criticism perspective, the 7 minute drill. I think there's two camps from what I've heard. There are people who are like, it wasn't bad, it's a warning shot. And then there are other people who are like, it's just not hard enough to be a diss, which I think both are valid, right? It's you're like, his heart is not in that diss, period. Mm-hmm. Like that's the
thing. Why even do it then?
That's the point. Why put it up and then
like
take
you
it
had
down?
To you had like, to that's respond terrible.
I think like he's the genuine one because on the one hand there's rap culture, which is like, okay, there's a rap beef. A lot of logical rules go out of a rap beef, much like, you know, in the legal system, a lot of logical rules just like go out of the window just because of tradition and how it works. And so, and that being said, there kind of are no rules. You just kind of, you know, escalate it and you change the battlefield as you go along, right? So I think in that case, there's one side of J. Cole that's like, okay, I'm saying I'm one of the big three in rap. Oftentimes, you know, rap is bravado, even if you're not considered one of the big three. Mm-hmm. You have to call yourself the best rapper. You have to call yourself the most attractive, the best at getting women, the best at doing deals, the best at doing shows, like all this stuff, whether it's true or not. And so there's that part with like, okay, well, as J. Cole, I have to show up for rap and the culture. And there's probably this other part of J. Cole who's, like we've described before, he's just a nice man. He's just a good man. How's Ben Staples playing? Oh, you got a good heart. Like, he doesn't want a rap beef. He would love to do a Dreamville record with Drake and Kendrick. Like, all things, like, washed together. You know, inviting Future and Jid and, you know, like, Sir.
Even some of the
like,
aftermath.
Let's be a We Are the World in rap music, then J. Cole's the one organizing the whole fucking thing. You know?
I don't think how that's going to work.
I very quickly gotta go because I have therapy.
I know.
I just want to say I've loved this conversation, Dan. It's fucking a pleasure to meet you, man, and get to chop it up with you. And thank
always
you guys
love
for having
to you,
me to chat and everything.
Zed, freestyle the news, everybody.
Please talk soon. Yes, and if you're in LA, let's get some food. Just don't tell everybody where your location is. You can tell me, and I won't dox you. Okay.
Thank
All right.
You.
Bye, Zed. All right, so will I still have you for a little bit, Dan? Can I ask specifically when it came to that element of it, when you speak about the culture, obviously, and there is this element I'm seeing right now, and I think, I don't know if you've seen Foreign Men in Foreign Lands news video, especially related to how there are white people in these spaces. Anthony Fantano's a big one. YMS is another big one. There's people like DJ Vlad, for example. There's a big difference between someone, say, like Anthony Fantano and DJ Vlad, who is often seen as a white person who speaks about black culture, but just done in a very kind of like... doesn't care about uplifting or learning or actually, you know, listening to black voices, but more just putting black people on a showcase, a spectacle, if you will, that kind of aspect of it, right? And I saw even recently, like, someone told him, like, you know, you're not supposed to be commenting on this, and he went after a Princeton University teacher or something, was like trying to dox her. Yeah. Is there an aspect of that, especially related to the way Drake is being perceived and the way Drake is being commented on, that you think is important for people to understand, or at least important for people and, you know, white people like myself to acknowledge when talking about this issue?
Yeah, I think it's a good microcosm. I mean, like, the whole... I think folks have seen the question, folks have seen, especially in leftist spaces, like, why are people now all of a sudden, whether they're streamers or podcasters or content creators, or just like, you know, in the discourse, you were posting about the colleges, the college protests in Palestine, like, earlier in the week, and now you're talking about this, like, Drake Kendrick thing. Yeah. Why is there that, like, why can't we do this there? Or, like, why can't Kendrick use this platform to talk about, like, there's that angle there, and I think, like, that's a fair enough point. But I think you can learn lessons about the way people think on a broad scale, the way discourse works, the way we've been kind of lied about, oh, democracy and voting is sort of inherent, and we all sort of believe in that. No, we're all little dictators in our head. I think a lot of us on the left. I'll say I'm a little dictator in my head. I constantly say, like, you know, in the Dan regime, because I've accepted that, like, it's going to be very difficult to convince, like, a bunch of other little dictators of how you think. And so, to that point, right, the way DJ Vlad responded to that Princeton faculty, you know, I think they're like a contract faculty, as a lot of faculty are, which is in itself a scam that Princeton does, that they can, you know, spend more money on, you know, admin and their endowments and hiking fees. Anyways, like, you can see in that reaction that DJ Vlad had of like, oh, you're trying to come for me in like a cancel culture kind of way and saying like what I can or can't say. I'm going to try to get you fired.
I'm gonna cancel your actual job. I need to speak to the manager of the university, please.
Drake talking to his white mom saying Rick Ross is racist and like posting the text messages so that's a self out. Drake saying, oh, Kendrick, you rap like you're trying to free the slaves in the blackest genre of music to ever exist.
I thought that was a good
thing. It's like he's doing the disses himself, right? Like, exactly. Like, yeah, there's the criticism that has long existed that, oh, Kendrick, he thinks he's all woke, he thinks he's all these things. I mean, he addresses it in Savior that, like, you know, he's not a savior, like, you shouldn't think of these people as idols.
But I've actually read like academic papers by black scholars that talk about how Kendrick Lamar still upholds a lot of the classical neoliberalism and the problems therein, while at the same time talking about, you know, prison abolition and the history of like slavery in the United States and using that as kind of like the focus for his art and his poetry. But simultaneously, he has, what, a $3 million diamond-studded Jesus halo, you know, that he uses for the cover itself, right? Like, is his activism rooted solely in just being a storyteller? And is that enough?
Yeah, and, you know, I think that is fine. His talent is storytelling. His talent is not maybe organizing protests. And if it was, like, you know, I think organizing protests and organizing general is a very difficult thing. That's why, you know, Jane McAlevey, who we know is not doing great in health right now, so all love to her. But, like, she's written several books on organizing and how important it is, how much of a discipline it is, how you really have to focus on that aspect to really get onto it. But to get back to your first question about lessons to be learned, all the Drake fans are taking Kendrick's diss. And you know, it's one of those moments where, like sports, we can all see the exact same thing, objectively see the same thing. There's a score, like, you know, elections. Like, there's a score. There are two numbers. One number is bigger than the other. Like, we're all seeing the same thing. So, like,
that's can you ever truly say that for music is the thing? Like, can you, like don't get me wrong. Lyrics, the downvotes speak for themselves right now on that track. It's almost more downvoted than it is upvoted. So you are right, actually. The maths are checking out here. But go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, like, even still, to that point, I don't take the... You know, a lot of Drake fans say, well, look at how many, look at the numbers that Drake does on his music and on his albums, case closed. And I'm just like, those are not comparable. Yeah. And that's a lot of Kendrick's point. So that's another point, you know, much like the DJ Vlad thing, much like Drake's disses, much like you see Drake's fans who are taking Kendrick's words, which are the objective thing we can see here, Kendrick and Drake's words, and they're taking them to mean, oh, he hates Drake because he's not black enough, or he hates Drake because he's mixed, or like he's or too Canadian. White. And it's like, no. The other people are seeing the criticism, a lot of Kendrick fans, but like a lot of folks in general are seeing the criticism of, no, Drake's a culture vulture. He goes to Atlanta when he sees that, you know, Atlanta's kind of popping and trending and he wants to take that sound. He goes to, you know, Trinidad, and he goes to Jamaica and he puts on that like accent thing when he finds out that that style of rap is starting to pop up. He does the UK drill and grime thing when he sees that popping up. He's now got Sexy Red. He did that little thing like Smino the rapper with his like hair and the puffs. Like, he's trying to appeal to different audiences and join on the come up and like a vampire suck that energy out, incorporate into his own vibe, and, you know, occasionally still work with them, occasionally still sort of like shout them out. But whereas you have, you know, I would just, Disclosure is a good example, Gorillaz is a good example, where the white artists behind that do a important work to take the artists of color who are international from foreign countries, often performing these songs in their native languages, to put them in the forefront and just support them and uplift them. That's how you can do this and how you can do this well, which is the lesson you kind of came into this with. But I think the lesson to understand here is just, I want people to observe the ways in which people kind of go into herds based on, okay, there's easy to pick sides, Drake versus Kendrick, but also the way that, yes, people are looking at objective truths and choosing to misinterpret them and like stand 10 toes down into it. Because you see that directly in politics. You see that directly with college protests. You see that directly with fights for reproductive access. It's people who have stuck their heels into something, and the political even if they know
or they can see it's not true. I said even if they know it's not true, or they see it like unraveling before their eyes, right? Like at a certain point, there had to have been a cutoff where, as a Drake fan, you're not willing to buy into a conspiracy theory or try to promote one, right? To be like, oh, this whole thing was a planted story and he fell for it, and like at a certain point, obviously, it's kind of like, but that's really silly because there's like there's enough evidence to point to this not being planted.
There's a lot of Drake fans out there right now at time of recording, and you know. What was it, The Heart Part 6 came out last night, so
yeah,
there could be things changing minutes from now or days from now, who knows. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that there's so many unforced errors in here, and you can see it just in the way Drake and his fans are responding to the situation. Mm-hmm. That most folks can see is like, this is a cultural critique, this is a style critique, this is about the tenets of hip-hop as a genre. I was listening to some of your stream earlier, but like hip-hop is a genre of Black storytelling and historical storytelling, and something that folks of all backgrounds can benefit from. And honestly, at this point, folks from all backgrounds will see themselves in. Like, there's some Filipino rappers, there are some Indigenous and First Nations rappers. Like, there's
I was talking about the Snotty Nose Res Kids earlier, and they've got a new song called BBE, and it's Big Braid Energy, and like obviously it's pulling on both Black culture and some of the same slangs that are being used, but like it's an awesome track, you know. And that I think a lot of the best Indigenous and Native rappers I know or I've talked to, they acknowledge that first and foremost, that this is a Black art form and that we are, you know, contributing in one way to another, but we need to both you know, be respectful of that. And a lot of it, because it's so rooted in rebellion, is one of the reasons why we, you know, as Indigenous people, maybe were drawn towards that style.
Yeah. It's why you see a lot of people of color in punk scenes, because like that's a lot about rebellion and a lot of that. You don't see that in photos, but I know a lot of Black punks. I know a lot of Latino punks, especially in the LA area, especially the locals, like not so much the transplants, but definitely the locals. You have that punk scene here, and you always have. So, yeah, I think it's just a moment to where, even if you're not really into it, it's a really interesting way to see how people's brains work and just take that lesson and go, this is music. Imagine how people's brains work on like the average political issue, where people have taught themselves, rightfully or not, that the stakes are higher. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just have to like factor that into your political analysis, that like this person, and this has been something that I've been doing politics for as long as I have, like throughout the different places I've been. It's been freeing to know that, oh, the person I'm arguing with, A, might be like 14 years old and just like not have any sort of political context or knowledge, which is totally fine. Yeah. But like if you're arguing from the stance of you know something, regardless of your age, it's like, oh, there's no point in arguing with someone who's not willing to hear out information that may put them in a situation where they have to be like J. Cole, they have to be a little bit humble or something. And you start to realize that That's the true red pill, blue pill thing. Once you get that, and once you see that that's how the most people are just taking in information, like it's team sports, you start to go, okay, that's noise. Here's where I can effectively organize or support organizing on the left. And here's how, while I'm in those organizing spaces, I can sort out the noise, and I can sort out the people who are not, you know, using their best critical thinking skills in certain moments versus, you know, keeping your eyes on the prize. I think it's more of a lesson in the mechanics of these things versus like you can see something in the culture here. But yeah, I could talk for another hour even with my like stuff.
Well, I was gonna say you took this and you took what was like based on that Rolling Stone commentary, something that people think is a waste of a conversation, and actually give it some real gravity, because you're totally right when it comes down to it. I've seen the same patterns in the way people are treating this entire story and whether or not you're even supposed to take it seriously, or it means everything, like it's literally your entire world focus, right? I've seen that done for so many other kinds of stories or beefs or everything, from like the Taylor Swift NFL stuff, right, all the way to real life stories, like you said, the kids protesting the genocide in Gaza and actively doing that. Okay, can I ask you one or two last questions? So I do want to know, do you think Kendrick's going to release a song, a response to the response? Because at this point, I don't even know if you have to. Because I kind of like, I feel like you could just walk away from it now and be like, yeah, or he could be releasing 12. Like there could be an entire album that drops tomorrow.
Yeah, so top level, from the Control era and the like XXL like covers, when Drake and J. Cole and, you know, folks like Big Crit and others and Kendrick were starting to be seen as like, okay, these are the ones in rap to start looking at and start watching as the, you know, Lil Wayne, 50 Cent, you know, T.I. era of rap of the 2000s was sort of ending. You're entering in a new era, right? Kendrick has always kind of been like, no, I'm going to assert myself as number one. To, you know, I think what could have been maybe perceived as like a normal version of rap bravado, like I've described beforehand in other cases before. Like, you know, Logic says he's the best rapper of all time.
Yes. Yeah, everyone does.
And, you know, like, there's some good people. Like, that's part of rapping. Like, you got to say you're the best rapper of all time. And thankfully, there's different valences of people. And so I value wordplay and humor in rap, and so I think MF Doom's a great rapper, but that's kind of become a meme for white boys now.
Yeah, that's true. Like, that is also true. To be fair, white people discovered MF Doom much, much later in life, I think. You know, it may have been like a Gorillaz album or two, and then they were like, who's this guy?
But thankfully, there's still like black enough lyrics throughout that where I can still giggle when Doom goes, good googly moogly, see that loogie, yeah, but keep it on the DL Hughley.
And I don't know if I'm allowed to giggle at any part of that, so I'm just going to sit here and agree.
No, it's totally fine. It's totally fine. D.L. Hughley was a former CNN commentator, so there's a little political stuff in there.
All right.
But I forget what I – remind me of the question again. I was just kind of riffing there.
Yeah, it was – well, A, do you think Kendrick's going to actually do anything, or does he even have to at this point? And I – yeah, do you think there's going to be another diss track, no diss tracks? But
I understand what I was –
you also brought up another point that now I'm kind of curious about. Oh, yeah. Remind me before I forget, but I do also want to ask about XXXTentacion and the rumors surrounding, like, that's the only part of this whole thing that I had no idea about. I found out because there was that sketch by Daylight on DJ Vlad's show where he's, like, in whiteface as Drake with, like, a wig, talking about how, like, Drake, you know, basically organized the murder of XXXTentacion. But then I read on, then I went down this huge rabbit hole online, and I read all this other stuff about how he's not the first person to actually suggest that, and that some of the ways in which, like, Kendrick is actually rhyming, the rhyming scheme is similar to XXXTentacion, when he's going, like, and he uses that over and over and over, that's actually maybe a nod. Like, it's one of those really subtle, you really gotta know the layers, you know.
XXXTentacionanon? You've discovered
Is that what it is? Is there a whole community online? Because
I just coined that right now, but yeah, okay. We can put a pin in that. I can do that in like 5 minutes for that. To answer your question, I remember what I was saying. Like, yeah, Kendrick has been wanting this beef since he started in the game, since he was Kendrick Lamar. Like, back when maybe, Good Kid, Mad City was just about to come out, way before To Pimp a Butterfly, and, you know, way before now. So, like, now he has a proven track record. Now, before, a lot of people said, oh, he's among the top rappers this year, but every year, rappers do really well, then fall off, right? Do really well, then fall off. He has the long legacy, he has the records, the awards are a nice touch, the Pulitzer is a nice touch, and now people are, like, still debating whether or not he versus J. Cole, which, you know, maybe that conversation will happen another day, versus Drake, like Soulja Boy voice, Drake. that video was Soulja Boy saying Drake stole my entire flow. And it's a meme of like Soulja Boy saying he did things first, but in the context of Drake is a culture vulture and he leans into things, and Soulja Boy was biggest with Soulja Boy, Tell Him, Crank That Soulja Boy, Turn My Swag On, that era of MySpace rap in the early 2000s. Of course Drake would culture vulture that, and that even reads in a different point right now. But Kendrick being compared to Drake genuinely offends him. So yes, he's doing jailhouse workouts, he's like push-ups and sit-ups, and like he's mumbling to himself to the point where like the alchemist is like, hey Kendrick, here's that record you want. He's like, put it aside. I'm doing crunches, like 306, 307, 308. Like, he's gone absolutely, like, I don't mean to use ableist language here accidentally, but like he's gone absolutely off the wall. Like, Kendrick wants to prove this with every fiber of his being. That being said, I think there'll be one more response, because Drake has been, is, and always will be a target-rich environment, because he makes himself that. And B, there's so many loose ends to tie now. Like, there are still people who genuinely believe that, on Drake's side especially, that, oh, Drake 5D chest Kendrick and all this stuff, even though Kendrick literally just proved that he 4D chest Drake.
Yeah.
And so, like, once again, it's coming back to this, like, okay, this, you just picked a team. You just stood into your team. you're Trump all the way. It doesn't matter what he does or how much of an idiot he looks like. Yeah. You are just team this guy because you really don't want to be wrong on the internet.
Or life, right? You don't have to or accept your reality that maybe I was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have chosen this side.
Everyone was saying that Not Like Us was like overkill in Call of Duty. He's already dead.
To me, it was like when you watch a UFC fight and it's really unevenly matched and you just eventually see someone just getting bloodied and it's not comfortable. It's not a fun, like you're not like witnessing a sport at that point anymore. You're just like, okay, this is just kind of really hard to watch and sit through.
As someone who may or may not have been crip walking to Not Like Us on the day of Saturday, I beg to differ. It was very comfortable for me and everyone in the Los Angeles area. So much so I have a cold. But, because of the Heart Part 6, which is the Heart Part 5, which is how Kendrick usually releases albums.
Right.
And the Heart Part 5 came out before Mr. Morale. So now the Heart Part 6 is going to have to share that name if Kendrick drops an album again with Drake's thing. That's annoying. Mm-hmm. There's still Kendrick being able to talk about these allegations. He could talk about the ones towards him, or he could choose to say, hey, I'm not going to validate these statements when my point has been, is, and will continue to be that Drake's a culture vulture and a liar. Right. But I think he just needs to like put that nail in the coffin before he can really call this done. I think Drake's more likely to wave the white flag first, and Kendrick's gonna be the one who's like still
Can there be a nail? Can say he releases another song, it's devastating, everyone's just like, oh my god, and even Drake fans are like, yeah, I mean, Drake kind of lost this one, but then his sales are still through the roof, his tours are still stadiums, his presence is still like one of the biggest pop stars, not just, you know, hip-hop stars, pop stars, right? I think of him more as a pop artist than I do anything else. That's why it was always weird to me to even think of the idea of the big three, because it's like this.
To that, sorry to interrupt, but like part of the culture vulturing is that back when we remember Drake as being really good, we also kind of remember, if you remember deep down, like this is an era of Drake where he was really appealing to women. He was doing the soft boy, sad boy kind of thing with like, yeah, if you're reading this, it's too late. The I forget the name, but it's the album of the kid on the cover, or just Drake on the cover. It's like blue in the background.
I'm not a huge Drake guy. Like, I'm not even that familiar with his entire discography, because he's one of those people where like I've had to go back now to listen to more of his like rap battle era style stuff to understand where kind of came out of nowhere to hear some of these like diss tracks actually sound half decent, and I was surprised. I've hated Drake for so long that I'm just like, oh, okay, so he has a skill set. There's more to the auto tune and I'm sad in the shower kind of style.
As FD Signifier says, Drake. I mean, I don't even know if it was FD Signifier, but someone else like noted that like Drake bodied Common. Mm-hmm. Common, who was like,
yeah, I know. Yeah, like, yeah, one of the greatest rappers of all time. Yeah, yeah. No.
Yeah, like and that's debatable. I wouldn't even put Common on my top 10, but that's why these things are objective. But yeah, for the albums, nothing was the same. If you're reading this, it's too late. What a Time to Be Alive, which was the future one. Some of Take Care, even like More Life in 2017. Drake was sort of like trying to appeal to women. If what Kendrick is saying is true, and I keep trying to say like the Mounties for like the Royal
the RCMP,
because I'm like, I don't know what the Canadian version of the FBI is, but I just assume like
it's CSIS
horses, just like,
so okay. But hey, the RCMP could knock on his now revealed mansion location too. That could happen.
Like Drake raps about his like address, right? So like that's not anything either. But like, yeah, if this
the ends, fact that it's called either, Kendrick's house on Google is pretty funny though.
if this ends with either Drake saying, listen, I'm gonna sue you for libel and slander, and I'm gonna run that money so quick that like Compton's gonna be named New Toronto by the time I'm done with you. or we start seeing original movies by the end of this decade called Surviving Drake. Like that, this pretty much
that's true.
Brought it to the
that's
point
true.
Where
that's true.
You're alleging bruh of crimes, like
yeah, oh, serious crimes too. A lifetime of crimes.
And so Drake is, I can't even tell you he's talking to a lawyer, but like it doesn't seem like Drake is confirming nor denying very strongly any of these allegations. If it turns out we're like there's a video of Drake being hauled out in handcuffs, then yeah, this truly ends, but this is going to end way before that. Ultimately, I just think that like Drake is being put in a corner here. Kendrick can, you know, put a nail in the coffin here, just like Pusha T did with the Drake beef, But at the end of the day, Pusha T and Drake went out that summer. They both released music because Pusha T is like an considerably like less mainstream artist.
Yeah.
His sold whatever. And because Drake is Drake, his sold gangbusters for the year. And, you know, people who look at numbers go like, okay, well, Drake won that beef. In reality, you look
but
at that.
That's kind of my point. It's, I mean, it's you're definitely right, but it's really different with Kendrick, just being that Kendrick can actually have the same levels. Well, not the same, but commercial success as well, right? So it's an entirely different kind of like status that you're fighting someone who's, because I agree with you. I think Pusha T obviously like won that fight, but there's a lot less people who know who that is, or even like, you know, have looked up his music or listened to it, that kind of thing.
There, I mean, Pusha T definitely gained an audience from that. He gained notoriety from that. People are always,
which is what, why artists talking. Also do beefs, right? Like it's all part of the you know, the game.
Oh yeah, you could totally convince me to believe that this is all an agreement that was done, like, and you know, there's the same thing said about wrestling and all sports.
Oh,
like,
all the time.
Oh,
yeah,
an agreement is done about like, okay, here's the
behind the scenes.
Here's how it's gonna work. Like,
yeah, this is all Andy Kaufman shit. It was Andy Kaufman from the you know, the get-go and all that kind of stuff.
With the music industry, it's definitely much more plausible considering exactly how manufactured the music industry is, just much like much of entertainment is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is probably Kendrick's probably gonna respond. It would be in Drake's best interest to not respond again, but, you know, depending on how Kendrick responds, if he goes even further and alleges even more high crimes to Drake, then Drake may not, you know,
yeah, what are we going to learn? Yeah, okay. Oh,
Drake, well, you're a part of the IDF and you're working.
Yeah. See, that's the only criticism, because I think people should be allowed and you should be entertained and enjoy following other things in your life than just the horrors and atrocities of like war crimes all day. Because, I mean, we're all going to break, you know, like I'd rather be listening to, you know, the new Kendrick song come out today than hearing the bombs drop. So.
And when I was doing the Black Lives Matter protests, when I was like actually part of them, sometimes I was covering them, sometimes I was just doing them myself in 2020, a lot of times people would be playing music and we would be dancing just as much as we're protesting. I think, you know, releasing that energy and releasing that rage in a number of different ways is healthy. It's community building. It's, you know, you're angry about something, but, you know, that dance, especially during COVID, might have been the first time someone smiled in a month with human interaction, like on the low, like really. So I think it's good to have balance in general. Do you have 5 minutes to talk about XXXTentacion?
Oh, yeah, okay. Tell me that quickly. Yeah. Tell me that quickly. Really, and then I do have to move on to gas coverage because everyone's like, Lance, you're almost going on 3 hours of talking about this. Yes. Inform me, please.
I will say this. I've been on record for saying this for years as well. Kendrick is a little bit hypocritical when it comes to the XXXTentacion, even the R. Kelly stuff, because there was that point where he was talking about... you know, Spotify had released this code of conduct policy with streamers and as a response to kind of the Me Too era, and saying that, like, okay, we're going to start taking certain artists off of the platform or deranking them or delisting them based on, you know, their behavior towards women in general. And, you know, Kendrick said, if you take off R. Kelly, who's, you know, needs no explanation, or XXXTentacion, who is very credibly...
he was a monster,
accused,
right?
Of yeah terrible, like very credibly accused of beating his pregnant wife, like generally a violent, like menace person, but yeah, it was just this like whole thing of like, he was saying if you take off XXXTentacion's music or R. Kelly's music from Spotify, then Kendrick's pulling his discography too, and that caused Spotify and these other companies, that was the ripple effect, they're like, okay, we're not going to do this anymore because we can't afford to lose these big artists, who that was To Pimp a Butterfly Damn era Kendrick. You can't afford to lose that on your streaming service. Spotify is still like, you know, trying to tread water from Apple, who's burgeoning, Tidal, who's burgeoning.
And was the background of that kind of like, I mean, you would have to get rid of a lot of all music, right? You'd have to take off, like, how many rock stars are you going to take off? You're going to take off Zeppelin, are you going to take off Floyd?
Kendrick's argument. Like Kendrick's argument is that, like, okay, let's see some white artists. We keep naming some black artists. Let's see some white artists.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
But I don't think it's totally fair, frankly. I think
there is a double standard sometimes. I think, like, I'm just speaking for white people, but I think there's a double standard sometimes where as soon as it's like it's a black person who is not only accused but credibly accused of horrifying things, it's like, all right, fine, chopping block. Let's get them off the network, cut them from the thing, block them off, and then like, to Kendrick's point there, that you could say that like some of my favorite artists in history, David Bowie, I think credibly slept with a 13-year-old, right? That same 13-year-old that Zeppelin slept with. There's a long history of a whole bunch of white artists being monsters, doing horrifying things, but no one's touching Bowie's discography. No one would even think about it, right? And then people will bring up, like, well, Dre may have, like, smashed a woman's head on concrete. Like, that's horrifying. That's horrible. But I think you'll entertain a conversation a little bit quicker to be like, should we remove Dre? If we remove Dre, do we have to remove all of Aftermath? If we remove Aftermath, do we have to get rid of, like, so many other, like, you know, shady records too? Like, all this
Chris
other
Brown
stuff.
Chris Brown is a really weird one because people really hate the Chris Brown thing. Otherwise, other people will say, hey, that was 10 years ago. He's grown from that moment. Rihanna has said that she forgives him. Like, that's a complicated one as well, even though I'm less to give Chris Brown a pass for that. But, you know, I think that's there. And to give the right wing what they want, a clip out of this is like, it's kind of not necessarily, but kind of like a lot of things, almost a point system where like certain attributes that you walk in, like whether you're cis, whether you're male presenting, your skin tone, whether you're white or black, how you speak, like these things work for or against you in any situation. And I think with a lot of these things, you have to add class as a factor because similarly, like Chris Brown, like a Michael Jackson, like a, you know, Led Zeppelin, all these different folks who have, we've seen done these like really shady things. They have the power of class and they have the power of being a celebrity that helps them in addition to all these people like being men, a lot of them being white men. And I think that class plays a really big role in it too. But yeah, like, that's one thing where I think, you know, and to this point, maybe Kendrick grew a little bit. And he's like, okay, now he's knowing that maybe that decision with XXXTentacion and R. Kelly in the 2017s may not be bad right now. So I'm going to go towards Drake. Again, that's another loose end that would be nice for Kendrick to tie up somehow, but I'm nitpicking here. Basically, the whole, to long story short, the XXXTentacion thing, there's an idea that Drake sent his shooters, which should obviously be like red flag. Like Drake,
that'll look. Yeah, I was like,
he calls him a Toronto's finest.
That's how they like, do in the six, like, you know.
There's some like this or whatever, which is why like men who are like into rap just watch Lifetime movies. You're the same demographic. You're into the same shit. Just go. You're making up stories at this point. It's like true crime, and eventually these men who do rap are gonna buy those like Karen handles for their cars too to make sure like it's the same shit. Honestly,
I gotta say that one of the greatest lines I've ever heard is you saying that like battle rap is essentially men writing angry poetry to each other because it's true. That's what it is. That makes it sound darling, you know. So it's like, well, that's precious. That's a lot less hardcore than everyone's making it out to be. Like everyone's like, this is a war. He's gonna to drop a nuke, like all this kind of shit. And
we're not at the point of rap battles where people got shot over them anymore, which honestly makes this one a little bit more entertaining because you know, like, neither Kendrick nor Drake are really about that. They may surround themselves,
but they're too rich to do things like that. Yeah,
too rich, too famous. It's just like not that time. But there's this idea that Drake hired a hit on XXXTentacion, and so therefore, this is like ongoing back and forth thing. And I'm just like, y'all need to get off comment page, like get off a DJ Academics and do something else. Stop watching.
Is it DJ Academics who's spreading that rumor, or at least
it's not his
it?
Rumor, but definitely it's, you know, those types of adjacent outlets. And this has been another thing right here where you're seeing like, okay, we used to have, you know, Funkmaster Flex and to some extent these like radio DJs who had some connection to DJing. Now you have Kai Cenat and Academics who, like, you know, God bless folks who like watch them. Probably watch some other folks, please. But like, these are hype beasts. These are people who will literally just like post lies, not knowing that, like, okay, you know, you'd get sued for this. They'll go, hey, but you know, I could get 300,000 likes for this. And they'll weigh that likelihood and they'll do that. They're not journalistic outfits. And, you know, truth doesn't matter anymore. It's being taken down and rooted out in every single way possible. And so, yeah, the more you can muddy the waters, which Academics helps to do, the better you are with that. And the more Drake says, oh, I'm going to release a single, the first thing I should do is tell the press and do a press release. I'm going to DM Academics and Kai Cenat on Instagram and tell them to keep streaming. They can react. Like, it's like, dude, I've used this saying in other contexts before, but like Kendrick's playing chess, Drake, you're playing Connect Four. Like, this is not the right context. You think you're being strategic here. This man is playing, like, backgammon. You're playing Uno. We're not in that game. But ultimately, XXXTentacion was a bad person. That you'll find different, just like with Taylor Swift, you'll find Swifties who go down wild bits of lore and these different experiments.
Oh, I don't fuck with the Swifties. That's that. No, no.
Music, one fan base. Music, like sports and like politics. There's intersections with them that are all interesting. And then at the end of the day, people go through rabbit holes, and it's like, you know what? It's fine. That's people think different things about their favorite musicians. That's kind of cute. We think different things about our politicians. Oftentimes we're proven right, and we have this like ever-ending anxiety about the state of the world and how things are going. With that, thank you, Lance, for inviting me on. It's been a pleasure.
Dan, where can people find you? Where can people find you? Promote your stuff.
Dan from the internet are all of my links. I do Power Report at the convenient time, streaming right during Leftist Mafia. folks can watch one or the other afterwards.
We've crossed over before, I think, right? We did a crossover.
Crossed over. Well, let's do another one of those. Mutual guests. Let's absolutely do it. Personally, not this week, because I definitely set myself 3 days back with me being sick and being on stream, but I do it for the love of the game, baby. YouTube, most places are Dan from the internet or Dan from the web, Twitch and Dan from the web. And I do Audio Face, a music podcast, every single week, where in fact last night we did an hour and a half, 2 hours ish on this entire thing. We break it down from most of the angles. We still probably
go check that out, everybody. I'm gonna be listening to that as soon as I'm done streaming today, so I can walk Chico and
YouTube.com/audiofacepod.
Some good analysis. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Dan. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for all you do, Lance. Take care.
Bye. Everyone, go check out Dan from the internet. You know, Dan from the internet, because Dan from the internet was just on the stream, as well as check out Zed Tabani, who does Freestyle the News. You know, Freestyle the News. I think we've sufficiently explored and analyzed, and now we know everything about the entire topic. And now all of you are huge hip-hop fans.
Thank you so much for watching, everybody. We first want to give a shout out to everyone who makes this show possible. This program is produced thanks to the generous support of our Patreon supporters: Anna Loves Riley, Irian McCarthy, Cheryl Alvarez, Comrade Junkie, Doug Caddy, Everything Important, Hagbar Celine, Jimmy Sombrero, Multi Mondi, Omni, Peanut Butter Blondie, Political Papi, Preston Kroll, Quiet 185, Richard Bomey, Riley and Anna, Roller Dragon, Ruby, Cernicus, Stellar Gwyn, Sebastian Demmel, Travis McClinton, and Words Greenwood. As well as every other person you see on the screen right now, this show would not be possible without them. And if you want to join these wonderful people who make this entire program possible, simply go to patreon.com/theserps and you can unlock uncensored and bonus episodes and, you know, help us exist.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.